Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ragland. It is Tuesday, November 21st, Week 12 Fantasy Football Waiver Wire. Coming at you on the podcast today. Just a friendly reminder, I'm not going to do a Thursday podcast this week. We'll be celebrating Thanksgiving. Still going to be working. Going to be updating those rankings over at FTNFantasy.com. But take a little bit of time off there on Thursday. We'll be back on Friday, though. Of course, I still have a podcast tomorrow, but just wanted to toss out that friendly reminder. All right, so let's get into it. This is a fairly big week in terms of the fantasy football waiver wire. Not only do we have some decent options at the top, but we also have a week where we're really transitioning, right? We have 3 weeks remaining in the fantasy football regular season. The postseason is coming at us, and we really need to start gearing up, getting that bench stockpiled with a lot of high upside talent, perhaps some implied value running backs. I'll talk about some of those guys on the show today. And trim that fat. Use your bench strategically, provided you're not in a short bench league. If you're in a 4-bench spot league, a 5-bench spot league, well, you can't really do anything there. You likely are maximized on your bench as it is. Just make sure you're not rostering an extra quarterback. You don't need to, unless it's a super flex league. You do need to in a super flex league, but you shouldn't have 4 bench spots in a super flex league anyway. But if you have a second quarterback, a second tight end, you tend to be wasting bench spots in a 4 or 5 bench spot league. Really need to use those for the positions you play the most of, running back and wide receiver. This week at the top, it is a running back. In fact, there are 2 running backs. Who will get an opportunity based on injury. We'll start with Zach Charbonnet. I'm willing to go 25 to 50% on him. It's an oblique injury for Kenneth Walker, and it's extremely unlikely that he's going to play on Thursday. They do have that quick turnaround. Now, Pete Carroll did tell reporters that he doesn't expect this to be a season ender or an injured reserve situation because obviously Seattle is in the playoff mix. However, he could hardly move after the game. He could miss a few weeks. And really, my mindset now is on 3 weeks. Like, there's no more rest of season. Like, that is not a thing at this point. We have 3 weeks. You may already be in the postseason or steamrolling your way towards a playoff spot. But even so, we have 3 more weeks until then. And a lot of us are fighting for those playoff spots. So we can't be thinking rest of season. We really have to be thinking in this much shorter chunk of time of 3 weeks. And we could have 3 games out of Zach Charbonnet over that span of time. Now, this week is San Francisco, but as far as I'm concerned, a guy who's going to see a lot of volume, you just do not manufacture that. You cannot find that on waivers. So that's why I'm willing to spend. And keep in mind, your fab isn't it's not as valuable as it once was. In week one, if you picked up a dude for $16, right, and you make it all the way to your fantasy championships, week 17, and you play that guy throughout that span of time, you paid $1 a week, right? $1 for 16 weeks of play. In week 16, if you're making it to the fantasy championship and you pick up a guy for $16, so the same amount of fab, you have now paid $16 a week for that player because you only get him for 1 week. So your fab loses value over the course of the season. So I am willing to spend a little bit more. 25 to 50% makes sense. I'm not going to go quite as much on A.J. Dillon unless we do get indication that Aaron Jones' injury is worse than expected. He did tell reporters he doesn't, it's not an ACL. At least that's what the initial testing suggested. The imaging will be the key here, and I don't see MRI results for him just yet. So it is worth taking a peek tonight. Because if it is season ending, then yeah, we're in that 25 to 50, maybe even 50% plus for A.J. Dillon. The thing about Jones, though, is, you know, it's the same scenario. They play on Thursday. He's not expected to play. A.J. Dillon will see a bulk of the work. It's the Lions. It's not a great matchup. But honestly, again, you cannot manufacture these touches. You're not going to just be able to pick up some rando off of waivers and get a 15 to 20 touch workload. You're just not going to be able to do it. Noah Brown, 15 to 30%. He's still available in over half of fantasy leagues. I think there's maybe 2 things going on here. First, some of those leagues are not the most competitive leagues. But secondly, there may have been some folks who ended up tossing him back after he was out this week. Big mistake. So just go double check, see if Noah Brown's available in your league. I do like him at 15% to 30%. With Nico Collins back, it's not like Noah Brown's going to continually put up those 150 plus, but we know what his ceiling looks like now. We do know that CJ Stroud obviously likes him, and he is going to have a role in that offense going forward. And I do think this is a short-term injury, by the way, with that knee issue. DeMario Douglas, 15 to 30%. He could still be out there in leagues because they were coming off a bye. So a lot of times when these guys go on bye, they get overlooked in waivers. He is the next man up in a long line of Patriots slot receivers. Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, Jacoby Myers. Now Douglas is in that role for this team, and it's a very productive role, regardless of who's under center. Obviously, we don't know. They're not telling us if it's going to be Mac Jones or Bailey Zappe or Will Greer. I would not put it past this team to get cute and put Malik Cunningham in there. Like, he's on the practice squad, but like anything could happen. Either way, Douglas is going to be fine as like a top 45 to top 35 option, somewhere in that range. So he's flex worthy in most weeks and gives you a nice high floor. How about this? Odell Beckham, 10 to 20%. This is the first time we saw him actually look like himself in a very long time. It's the first time he topped 100 yards since week 6 of 2016. Been a long time there. And I don't think it was coincidental this all happened with Mark Andrews getting hurt very early in the game. Now I'm going to get into Andrews, the fallout there with Isaiah Likely in a moment. But Beckham looked sharp. He was getting downfield. Lamar was targeting him downfield. Now, they didn't connect on all of those, but the looks are important, and I don't think all the targets just simply go from Mark Andrews to Isaiah Likely. So Beckham is a sneaky one here. I'm probably a little high in my percentages on him, but you know, again, I'm just looking for guys who give us that pop down the stretch. 7 to 15% on Ty Chandler. Be careful. Yes, he did outscore Alexander Mattison, but Madison's still the clear lead back. 64% snap share for Madison. Only 30% for Chandler. But he does have the ability to contribute in the passing game, and he's one Madison injury away from being a RB2 play. And that Vikings squad that is surging. Now, they do have a week 13 bye, by the way, so that is worth at least noting. 5 to 10% on Keaton Mitchell. He didn't hit last week, and I actually think that's a good thing because you'll be able to get him maybe slightly cheaper if he's still available or has been dropped. He could be dropped by some folks, so keep an eye on that. He outsnapped Justice Hill 22 to 13. He had 9 touches. That was only 5 fewer than Gus Edwards, and we know he has a massive ceiling. Romeo Doubs, 5 to 10%, doesn't have the highest ceiling with him, but he is tied for second in the league with 12 end zone targets. He's converted 7 of those for touchdowns, 4 touchdowns in his last 5 games, and Jordan Love is sort of improving. Now, granted, it was against the Chargers this past week, but Dobbs, not terrible, not terrible. We'll get to his teammate in just a moment, but in between him and his teammate, Khalil Shakir, put up a big stat line. Now, it was only on the three catches, but still, can't expect big plays out of him every single week, but he, you know, his playing time is going to continue. They're using a lot of 3 wide receiver sets with Dawson Knox sidelined. So this is not bad at all for Khalil Shakir. And plus, I mean, hey, is he more of a consistent option than Gabe Davis at this point? I don't think he's a better option, but man, Gabe Davis is so volatile. Then Jaden Reed, of course, Romeo Doubs' teammate. Back-to-back top 12 fantasy weeks, big playability, top shelf speed, and the team is using him in multiple ways now. I don't think that he's a better option than Doubs, but it's really actually surprisingly close between Doubs, Watson, and Reed. Although Watson is the one who's most widely rostered, there's an argument to be made for both of them over him. I'm not going to necessarily make that argument, but I wouldn't completely shoot that down if you were to make that argument. Isaiah Likely, 5 to 10%. Okay, Mark Andrews. We don't know if he's out for the entire season right now, but for our purposes, he's out, right? He's not going to be back this week. He's not going to be back next week. He's not going to be back the following week. If anything, with the Ravens right now are in the number one seed, which is crazy to think of, but they are. They're the number one seed in the AFC. With the Ravens making a postseason push, they're going to be in the postseason. I mean, especially when you look at the AFC right now, they want Mark Andrews. They don't want to put him on season-ending IR. So, of course, that's why those reports are coming out. But I don't even – like, it could be week 18. It could be the second round of the playoffs. Like, for our purposes, Isaiah Likely is the tight end. He is not a one-for-one swap with Mark Andrews. But then again, who is? But he isn't even, like, a 90% of Mark Andrews. We saw him fill in two targets, no catches this past week. Yes, he had a couple big games last year. Yes, he has that in his repertoire, but I'm really just viewing Isaiah Likely as more of a premium streamer than a plug and play, set and forget every single week. If you have Andrews, I would give your waiver wire a very close look. I would compare it to this week's rankings because I don't think there's just an every week starter to pick up. Like, there isn't a Trey McBride this week. Dalton Kincaid, guys like that are not out there in most leagues. So you're in streamer territory, which means you're not picking up a guy for the rest of season. You're picking up a guy for this week, and if he hits, maybe you use him again next week. And if he doesn't, you're on to the next guy next week. So keep that in mind. And Isaiah Likely is in that conversation. He's not in the set and forget. Jordan Love, 5 to 10%. Back-to-back games with two passing scores, a 300-yard performance out of him. Of course, that's what quarterbacks do against the Chargers. But still, let's say you lost Joe Burrow. Let's say it's a deeper league, whether it's like a 12-team where a lot of people roster two quarterbacks, or it's like a 14- or 16-teamer, and Love is out there. I would go out and get him because you're probably not doing any better. He still does have a long leash. I don't think they're going to turn the reins over to Sean Clifford at any point this season. So he's going to be the starter. You're going to weather the storm potentially with ups and downs. But he can put up decent fantasy weeks. He just showed us that. So he is worth it. Jameson Williams, 4 to 7%. Are we going to take the training wheels off Detroit? Are we almost there? I mean, he scored this past week. Still no volume for him. Did play a season-high 40 snaps. I'm not picking Jameson Williams up this week with the thought process of starting him. I'm picking him up with the thought process of, I know what he looked like at Alabama. I know that he can completely be a game-breaker. And if Detroit, who is also steamrolling their way towards the playoffs, if they decide to take those training wheels off, the results could be explosive. And it's that appeal. It's not the immediacy of, oh, I get to use him this week. No, it's the appeal of what could potentially be if they decide to take those training wheels off. Elijah Moore, 4 to 7%. He's had 60 yards on six catches with Dorian Thompson-Robinson under center, so that's not too bad. And you may need a guy like him in deeper leagues. Let's go to Tajay Spears, 3 to 5%. Derrick Henry's the lead back. Yes, his play is declining. He's going to continue to be the lead back, though. So this is an implied value play. I'm picking up Spears in case something happens to Henry, because all of a sudden Spears would be a top 15 guy. And those are the types of players that I want to start rostering now, provided I have the bench spots to do so. You're going to have six or more bench spots. But I want to get guys like this with implied value on my bench, as opposed to guys who really are never going to crack my starting lineup. Even with injuries, I'm going to feel really reluctant to start them, because you can potentially catch lightning in a bottle with these higher implied value guys. Savon Ahmed, 3 to 5%. Achan, we don't know if he's going to play this week or not. I'll have a better indication for you on tomorrow's podcast, because I'll at least have an injury report. I don't have a Tuesday injury report yet, and remember, that's the Friday game. But here's what we know. Jeff Wilson was a healthy scratch, so Ahmed's ahead of him. Mostert is the clear lead if no Achan, but that also means we're one Mostert injury away from Savon Ahmed potentially being the lead back in one of the most explosive offenses in the league. That is implied value that I want. A.T. Perry, 3 to 5%. Doesn't look like Michael Thomas is going to play this week and could miss some extended time. The rookie stepped right into his role and essentially was a carbon copy of him. You know, not that bad. I mean, he's not peak career Michael Thomas, but he's basically was every bit of what Michael Thomas has been this season. So deeper leagues, Perry is available. Desmond Ritter, 3 to 5%. I know. But and I would go about 10 to 20% in Superflex. He's not guaranteed to be the starter going forward. He's only technically speaking the starter this week. But Taylor Heineke is banged up. Ridder could have a role here back as the starter, which means he'll be in that fringe QB2 conversation in Superflex. A trio of tight ends, Kate Otten, Luke Musgrave, Michael Mayer. If you need a streamer this week, that's my top group, although always check my rankings because I don't know who's going to be on your waiver wire. But that's the best group, although I will say this about Musgrave. He went DNP yesterday, so before you put a claim in for him, just make sure you look at today's practice report. If he goes DNP again, I wouldn't put a claim in for him. If he's limited, I would. His ceiling is very high. It's the highest of the three, but his floor is by far the lowest of those three. Jaleel McLaughlin, 1-3%. Again, implied value, guys. We know what his implied value looks like when it comes to fruition because we saw that earlier in the season. And if Javonte goes down, McLaughlin would be the guy, not Samaje Perine in early down situations. So I do like that. And he's the type, he is that Achan, Keaton Mitchell type where all he needs is about 8 to 10 touches and he can give you an entire week of fantasy production. Tanner Hudson, 1-3%. I don't think the volume goes away from him with Jake Browning. It's just the ceiling is lower. So he's only a streamer option in deeper leagues where guys like Otten, Musgrave, and Mayer may already be rostered. You could do worse than Tanner Hudson. All right, we have three streamers because I'm assuming Dorian Thompson-Robinson is rostered in super flex leagues. But so deep streamer, super flex, third quarterback types here. Tommy DeVito, Jake Browning, and Tim Boyle. Tommy DeVito, I don't think lightning strikes twice, but at least we now know, okay, he's got this in his bag. He could throw a couple touchdown passes. Again, I think he comes back to earth this week, but he is the best of these three. Jake Browning wasn't terrible in relief duty, and that's all I'm kind of looking for if I'm looking for a third quarterback. And then Tim Boyle, okay, so he's going to be the starter for the Jets this week. I don't know if that's guaranteed to stick because they do have Trevor Siemian, who will actually be the backup. Zach Wilson is the number three quarterback. Yikes. But we could see Trevor Siemian at some point. There are rumblings that Aaron Rodgers could be back in December, which is a medical miracle, but I mean, if they're out of the playoff hunt, I don't see them bringing him back, so I wouldn't get too cute with picking him up. There is a cute play, though, that you could potentially make tonight, and it's Jameis Winston. We don't know if Derek Carr is going to play this week. We know the shoulder injury wasn't the big issue. It was actually concussion protocol that was the big issue, and he's still in concussion protocol. So here's how I would figure this out. Now, and you're not going to have this intel if you have to make your claims tonight, but if Derek Carr is DNP to start the week on Wednesday, that's a bad sign. Coming out of a bye week in concussion protocol and still not even limited is a bad sign, which would suggest he's not going to play. If Derek Carr gets to limited, he's trending in the right direction, likely gets back on the field. So if he doesn't play, Jameis Winston will be a rock solid QB2 play. Like way better than DeVito, Jake Browning, Tim Boyle. It's just there's no guarantee that he is on the radar here this week. So you can make the claim it could end up being wasted fab. So I wouldn't go much more than like 5 to 10%, but it also could pay some nice dividends. For DeVito, Browning, Boyle, I'm not going very high at all. Maybe 5 to 10%, and that's if I'm really desperate for a number three quarterback. But it does help to have three quarterbacks in Superflex. All right, let's take a look at defense for this week. If you have any of the following, I think you can just stick with it because remember, my objective with team defense is pretty simple. I want a very good defense in a good or great matchup. Or I want any of the other defenses in a great matchup, like picking on bad quarterbacks. So if you have the Dallas Cowboys, well, you get kind of both. You get a very good defense against Sam Howell. So that's nice. And he threw three picks last week. Keeping the Cleveland Browns around this week against Denver. Even though Russ is playing better, you can still pick on them. I am keeping the San Francisco 49ers around this week. It is not necessarily the best matchup against Seattle, but I don't mind continuing with a very strong defense. Same thing with Baltimore. It's the Chargers, but I'm going to keep going with Baltimore because they're that good on the defensive side of the ball. And then the Pittsburgh Steelers as well. They get to face Jake Browning. They're widely rostered. That's a great play this week. If I have the Buffalo Bills, I'm moving on from them. The Bills get Philly. It's not good for business. Philly has already been widely dropped, so they didn't even make the list. And then the Jets, I'd be moving on from the Jets as well if I've been rostering them. The Jets, of course, get Miami. Not a great matchup. However, on the other side, the top streamer of the week, the Miami Dolphins. If they're available, they are the best streamer because they get the Jets. It's Tim Boyle. I don't really need to say anything else. The Denver Broncos have been trending up on the defensive side of the ball, and they get Dorian Thompson-Robinson, so that is a nice play there. Kansas City versus Vegas. They weren't in play this week against Philly. They still, I mean, they had the interception. They really pushed the Eagles. That's a good defense, man. They get Aiden O'Connell this week. The Saints, Desmond Ridder is back, baby. And I'm all about that for team defensive purposes. And I actually like both sides of the Patriots-Giants game. If I had to pick one, I'm going to pick the Patriots. I don't think lightning strikes twice for our guy Tommy DeVito. But I also don't mind using a so-so Giants, maybe even worse than so-so, Giants defense against New England with whoever is under center. If it's Mac Jones, cool. If it is Bailey Zappe or Malik Cunningham, I don't care. It's a good spot. And the Giants did just have three interceptions last week against Sam Howell. So not bad there at all. All right, that does it for today. I'll be back tomorrow. We'll break down rankings for Week 12 Fantasy Football. In the meantime, FTNFantasy.com. We have some deals going on. I'll announce that tomorrow on the podcast. You can also follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe and on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe. All right, I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out. We'll be right back.